We turn to the psalm which we read. Psalm 66. And we shall read again verses 16 and 17. Psalm 66, verses 16 and 17. Come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. Amen. Here the psalmist is bearing witness to God and the goodness of God, which is his portion. A testimony, if you will. And we remember in Isaiah's prophecy how the Lord refers to his people as his witnesses. That is something for us to remember in our lives lived out here below. We are the Lord's witnesses. Those who are of the world need to know about God, and they may learn something about God from his people. They should. The lives that we lead and the words that we utter. When we think of that, is it not very humbling? Because we know what we are by nature. We are sinners all. And even as those renewed by the grace of God, we are still sinners. We are very far short of glorifying God in all that we say and do. Yet the Lord is pleased to make use of his own to make himself known to others. And we should think about that prayerfully. And if we do, it will have a good effect upon us as we go about from day to day, especially when we are in the company of those of the world. To be salt and light, bearing witness unto the Lord. The psalmist certainly understood that that was his calling. And in this psalm, this song of heartfelt praise, he concludes by telling us and all who will hear of his personal gratitude to God for the experience he has had of the Lord's mercy. And we learn of that in verses 11 and 12. Thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidst affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. He doesn't identify the occasion. It may sum up many of his experiences along with the other believers of his day. Into the net, that is where they were brought. Affliction upon them, men riding over their heads. It was as though passing through fire and water. But, there's a but, thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place. This difficulty, this trouble, it was not a pleasant experience, but the Lord worked it for good. And is this not what we find, even in our own lives, and the life of the church, the Lord being in her, The Lord dwelling with his people, they do not go through that experience alone. The Lord is with them, and he will turn everything for their good. Let us then consider, with the Lord's help, the psalmist's testimony as we have it in verses 16 and 17, and we shall refer to other verses as we do so. And the first thing we have there is an invitation. Come and hear, he says, O ye that fear God. And when you look at the earlier verses of the psalm, you note there in verse 5, the words, come and see. Come and see the works of God. Behold them, how great God is, his wonderful works. And now it is, come and hear. Israel beheld the works of God in terms of his dealings with their enemies. You can go right back to the Exodus out of Egypt and God's judgment upon Pharaoh and his host, even as they, in their enmity, pursued after Israel. Well, God gave Israel deliverance. They went indeed through the Red Sea as on dry land, and Pharaoh and his host pursuing them, the waters closed in again and they were drowned in the depths of the sea. God's mighty work, terrible to the children of men, the ungodly among men. But now, come and hear. Hear of God's mercy. God's mercy to me. God's mercy to his people. We all deserve God's judgment upon us because of our sin. We have to say that as believers. We deserve it, God's judgment. But we do not receive it. Not in the way of vengeance, because another bore it for us, our beloved Redeemer. And because of Christ, because of Calvary, we who deserve judgment receive instead God's mercy. And how shall we describe God's mercy? It is great, it is abundant, it is without limit. It is eternal. And we need it continually. Indeed, we need it until our dying day. And our place in glory is according to God's mercy. The psalmist had received mercy for his soul. That is what makes us to be the children of God and those who follow Jesus Christ. We have been pardoned, all our sins forgiven. The psalmist had received particular mercy and he gave thanks for it in verse 15. In the language of sacrifice, that which was appropriate under the ceremonial law, you have David giving thanks to God. I will offer unto thee burnt sacrifices of fatlings, with the incense of rams I will offer bullocks with goats. Well, do we not offer our sacrifices to God in thankfulness for his mercy? And they are spiritual sacrifices. Praise is appropriate. Prayer is appropriate. Good works are appropriate for those whom the Lord has blessed with a holy, gracious salvation. And the psalmist first thought, when he was delivered by God, brought out of the net, was to give thanks to the Lord. But after that, he would bear witness to men concerning God's goodness to him. That is what he is doing by way of invitation. Come and hear, O ye that fear God. He's summoning others in Israel, other believers, those who fear God. And we trust that there are many besides those who have professed faith who fear God. We could certainly once say that about our communities. When the gospel had power and the Spirit was at work, when the word was preached purely, plainly, and lovingly and pleadingly, many might attend God's house who made no personal profession of saving faith, but they feared God. They had a reverence for the things of God. They kept the Sabbath day. They maintained worship in their own homes. They would reprove those who spoke in any way inappropriately concerning God and his cause. And such now seem to be few. The lines are sharper now. You're either one who professes Jesus Christ and willingly makes that known, or you're of the world and you've no interest whatsoever in the things of God. Praise the Lord that there are those, though they be few in number, who do fear God, and we long to see them coming to a profession, willingly taking their stand on the side of Christ. To these reverent inquirers, these words are also addressed. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. And is it not a wonderful thing when there are those who perhaps for a long time have had thoughts concerning their soul, concerning eternity, what it will be to stand before God in judgment? Then they are found attending public worship and coming out regularly and desiring to hear more. And perhaps they first hear something from one of the Lord's people. Someone like the psalmist, a believer in God, one who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, one who has experienced mercy and been delivered out of trouble, bearing witness, and that hearer becoming an inquirer and one who wishes to hear more of the glorious gospel. This invitation is there. Come and hear. Then we have a declaration. I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And you see how personal it is with the psalmist. He will speak and he will tell what God has done for his soul. And may we say that this is real religion? There's a religion you can learn. You can learn it from your father and mother, and that is good. You need to know the content of the Bible, the truths, the doctrines of the Bible. You need to learn these things early, and you need to think upon them. But these things must then become personal. That you are able to say that you believe in this God, you trust in this Savior, you know this new birth by the Holy Spirit. And the psalmist will declare, that is a strong form of this verb. It means not just to relate in a dry, arid way. It means to recount, to rehearse something, and to do so from the heart, to tell out something, to do so with conviction. When we think of ourselves, what poor witnesses we are, this is what we seem so often to lack. We mumble a few words, we utter a few things that we try to put together, speaking to someone who is not a professing Christian, and the strength of conviction is perhaps not what we would wish it to be. And we struggle to be able to articulate what is in our heart. And it is there. We do love the Lord. We do praise him and rejoice in him for his kindness to us. And the thing that is so often present is the fear of man. What will people think? What will people say? If I am so bold and forthright concerning these things, well, leave that with the Lord. And if we are bold, above all, if we are sincere, if we speak from the heart, the Lord will own it. If it is done for his glory, his honor, if it is done in love to a needy soul, surely the Lord will help. And the Lord, in answer to prayer, and is there not a prayer going up when you're given such an opportunity? The Lord, in answer to prayer, may open the heart and the mind of the one to whom you are speaking. You find some professing Christians, and perhaps their experience is all that they really speak of, and it's more what I have done for the Lord. Well, that is not as it was with the psalmist. With the psalmist, it is what the Lord had done for him. And that really needs to be the emphasis. Well, we may have done things for the Lord. We are called to serve the Lord. But these things will speak for themselves. Others can see these things, perhaps, if done in a public way. If done in a more private way, then let them remain like that. But what the Lord has done for us, perhaps we have experienced a particular deliverance out of some physical trouble, some illness and sickness, and others know of that. and we may have occasion to be in their company, and they express how pleased they are. One who was sick is now well again. Well, will we not be saying to them, it was the Lord. It was something I cast upon him. I prayed. Others prayed. And the Lord did this for me. That is how we would wish to be. And there are things very personal to the individual Christian. Matters concerning his or her soul. It's not easy to put these things into words. But to be able to say something concerning what the Lord has done. The Lord forgave me. The Lord strengthened me. The Lord guided me. The Lord kept me. We can speak in these ways concerning the Lord's dealings. It is part of the Christian life that there should be an experience of God, of his mercy, of his grace, of his power. Without that, our Christian life is barren, is it not? The profession is there, but where's the reality? At the same time, not every experience we have, even of a spiritual kind, is necessarily from the Lord in terms of the fellowship we have with God. You find people, especially in times of revival perhaps, who say the Lord spoke to them. The Lord was near to them. They saw the Lord. And they heard voices of angels and things like this. And you have to be very careful about such experiences. Always the measure of these things is God's word, the scripture of truth. You have to go there. And anything you may have heard, you believe, anything you think the Lord has taught you, any experience, you need to test it by the infallible word of God. The benefit of knowing the Lord's dealings, the highs and lows of our spiritual life, is that they, in a way, are used by God to comfort us when our faith is weak. Assure us when our faith is weak. When you see your little faith, doubts, of course, enter in, and Satan is there to tempt you with this thought, you are really no different from others. You're just the same as you ever were. You're really still one of the world. And that can be very trying for the Christian. And when we cry to the Lord, he may be pleased to give us a certain experience. In the reading of the word, perhaps, or in prayer, or in fellowship, so that we are assured that he is indeed our God. Jesus Christ is our Savior, our beloved companion, our heavenly bridegroom, the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, having given his invitation and made his declaration, the psalmist then speaks of the salvation that he enjoys. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. You see, there you have the pattern of the believer's life. You have prayer and you have praise. And you can sum up the Christian life almost in those two things, prayer and praise. Faith, of course, is involved in both. And love to God and obedience to Christ. But prayer and praise, these things belong to us continually. We should be engaged in them, not only in public worship and private and family worship, but through the day. This is fellowship. This is communion. This is the soul drawing near to God, even as the Lord will draw near to the believer. Prayer was first in the psalmist's experience. I cried unto him with my mouth, seeking the Lord for his help, for his mercy, when he was in trouble, when he was in affliction. This is what he desired of the Lord. And the psalmist had promises, and we have many promises from God at such times. Dark times, but not without the light of God's word to guide us. And that word guides us to God, guides us to the throne of grace, and that word teaches us what we are to ask and enables us with its promises to cry fervently to the Lord with every expectation that he will hear and he will help. And when the psalmist was in trouble and he'd made his petition for deliverance, and the deliverance came, then there was praise. And he was extolled with my tongue. The Lord coming to his servant, coming powerfully in providence and grace to deliver him out of his trouble. God is at work. God never rests. He's involved in the lives and the experiences of his people. And his people know that the more they're exercised during such times, difficult times, and they are drawing near to God. In verse 10 he says, "For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried." There you have the confirmation that there is a blessing for us at such times. Satan will never encourage us with that. He will always be saying to us, "You have these troubles because you believe in God, because you follow Christ. Would it not be better for you? Would it not be easier and more comfortable for you if you abandoned your faith in God and walking with Christ?" That's Satan's promise. A most deceitful one, because Satan will leave out altogether the welfare of the soul. And this is Satan's snare. A net, if you will. Satan always trying to entrap the child of God, and perhaps having some success when the believer is unwary, with false promises and giving the darker view of providence. Providence is difficult for us. The things that happen, why they happen, the purpose of them. But we know at such times that everything concerning God, who He is, what He is in relation to His people, what He's done for them, remains true. He never changes, though His ways with men, His dealings with them may change. Because we change, we do this and we do that, and the Lord then shows us either His approval or His displeasure. God proving His people, proving them through trials, even as silver is tried. Why is silver tried? Because when it's dug out of the earth, it's mixed with impurities, with dross. And so it's tried in the way of refining it, to purify it. Because only when it is pure does it have value, worth, attractiveness, use. So it is with the Lord's people. Oh, He loves them. He loved them when they were in their sins. He loved them even before they ever had being in this world. And He loves them even when they sin against Him. He loves them sufficiently to chastise them. But He desires that they should be holy, even as He is holy. That they should be like the Lord Jesus Christ. A blessing for our soul to know the difficult experiences. The Lord makes use of them purify our soul, to wean us from this world, to give us a greater interest in the world to come, greater longing for it. Should we not be willing to speak of such things to others? What the Lord has done for our soul in the way of delivering us out of our troubles. And to be able to speak of these things in terms of the present, what the Lord is doing for us now. What deliverances have you experienced of late? How has the Lord taken your feet out of the net, so that you have been set free from some difficulty, some affliction? Good for ourselves and good for others to learn of the Lord's loving kindness in these ways. Let us be willing to tell what the Lord has done for our soul. May He bless His word. Let us pray. Almighty and merciful God, as we give thanks to Thee for Thy great and kind deliverances, wilt Thou give us that strength and that resolve to testify concerning Thee and all that we have received from Thy hand. And we bless Thee for mercy and grace, and for the great deliverance, even from our guilt, and what we deserve on account of our sin. Oh, that many would come to know that deliverance, and be able to praise Thee themselves. Hear us then, and take from us all our iniquity, loving us freely for Jesus' sake. Amen.